Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
What up? Hello. Welcome.
It's Speak Up. I'm Jesse. This is the radio station CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station, way up on the very top of Burnaby Mountain, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Hulkamilam and Squamish-speaking peoples, who have been here since time immemorial. Today on the program, a mix of talk and music, as usual. Focus on the talk, of course, given the name and stated intent of the program. And it's a mix of new and old as well. We'll just get into it as it goes. I'm not going to spoil anything until we get there. Today, I am once again going to start with some local music, and once again, I'm going to start with a track from Self Care's newest record, Doggy, which is out now and rules, and I like a lot, not just because I have friends in the band, but because it's great sad boy pop punk. And I think that self-instilled descriptor is selling them a little short. It's more than just pop punk. It's rock. It's indie. It's all over the place. So you'll hear that. And, let's just do it. This is the closing track off of the record Addicts, that's the name of the song. The record is Doggy, and this is Addicts by Self Care.
I want to drive.
self-care here on CJSF's Speak Up 90.1 FM. I'm Jesse. Our first piece of the day comes from our community journalist, Danny Nesvedrani, and it is a big moment in the journalistic career of Danny. That's right, his first story to ever be posted and shared on the Vancouver subreddit. People out there, they care. Like you. If you like what you hear, you can always find these stories at frequencynews.ca or cjsf.ca, and you could post them to the Vancouver subreddit or the Burnaby subreddit or the Simon Fraser subreddit. Anyway, this is about some research being done by SFU researchers, repurposing waste heat to power air conditioning. That's cool. All right, here we go.
Reporting from Burnaby, BC, this is Danny Nesvedrani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. On August 12th, Mechatronics Systems Engineering Professor Majid Bahrami with Simon Fraser University unveiled a prototype of a device called the Sorption Heat Transformer and Thermal Storage System, or SORTABO. This new technology converts waste heat found in district heating systems to cooling that can be used for air conditioning in buildings without the need for infrastructure upgrades or electricity. This prototype cooling machine can be seen inside Burnaby City Hall until September 5th of this year. CJSF reached out to Majid Bahrami for an interview about this new prototype, as well as to learn more about why the city of Burnaby decided to display it, and if the city has any plans to expand its use of this technology in the future.
So City of Burnaby is building right now one of the largest district heatings in North America. And they are using a renewable source of waste heat, which is already wasted, is not used. So it's a great, great initiative. So I've been working with the city and our technology. The idea here is they're digging all the areas downtown Burnaby, Metro Town, and Edmund Station, and then there would be like five phases. Slowly they're gonna expand this. Also to Riverside and other district areas in Metro Vancouver. But with all the investment and this large scale infrastructure, they're going to be only using it for heating, which is like 4 months a year. So our technology, if we can scale it, will not only increase the usefulness of this infrastructure, because it can also provide cooling, it also is going to reduce the amount of time for them to return their investment significantly. So cooling is a lot more expensive. And again, the idea here is you don't need to have your chillers or heat pumps in your building to have cooling. You don't need to worry about the maintenance, the environmental impact, and so on. This is completely sustainable. That's why the city of Burnaby founded, the engineers and the council there founded interesting.
We then asked Bahrami how long him and his team had been researching this technology until they were able to produce a functional prototype.
So, you know, with our team, we've been working on this for the last 5-10 years. And this opportunity will provide us with a much needed location to show the proof of concept. So we built this prototype, installed it in the city hall right now, is operational. You and your listeners can go and see it in action. It's a small scale, but it shows that, hey, there is no moving part. This machine receives only hot water with temperatures around 80 degrees centigrade and create cooling. With no noise, you can actually stand there and feel the cold air blowing in your face. And, you know, so we are very proud to say that this has been long development coming in the Canadian BC University SFU, and we're hoping to have a huge impact moving forward, not only in BC, but also across Canada and globally.
Later on in the conversation, Bahrami explained why it's taken so long for this technology not only to progress, but to see greater interest from municipalities such as the city of Burnaby.
About 60% of the energy that we generate become waste heat and wasted. So our, I would say, linear economy right now, I'm sure you heard about circular economy. The circular economy, nature doesn't have a waste, right? So everything is gets reused and repurposed. But our economy, we're still just linear. We extract, use, and we just throw away linearly, right? Because so far, we had a lot of resources. Nobody really cared about energy, and the energy has been cheap. And now with the rise of concern about climate change and environmental impact, and people are more conscious about their footprint, there's a great opportunity. Now, I should mention that this technology, this fundamental solution, this is nothing new. But the principle never really truly commercialized because a variety of reasons. Number one is the older solution had a lot of problems. They were large, inefficient. And also the alternative, which is still is, electrically driven systems are convenient, become the mainstream, right? And when the industry does something at the scale, they don't want to change. I mean, even if this, I'm sure you appreciate that. It's they have other issues, right? So they need to address the ongoing day-to-day issues, respond to their investors and so on. So the current companies, the existing companies, they don't really want to go through all the hassle.
At the end of our conversation, Barami stresses the untapped potential of waste heat as a sustainable method of air conditioning.
To me, this is a huge opportunity because waste heat is the largest untapped resource on planet. 60%. I mean, we have so much waste heat. And to give you a number, the city of Burnaby, the facility that they're using the waste heat, this is a garbage incinerator. They have 100 megawatt of waste heat. It may not mean anything to you, but just let me break it down. It's about 2.5 times the heat that the entire city uses, city of Burnaby uses, and the neighborhood. So you have tremendous, you don't need to burn natural gas or fossil fuel to heat your house. We have waste heat somewhere that is just being wasted. So why not use that, bring it, and this is a wonderful initiative, right?
Once again, that was our conversation with mechatronics system engineering professor of Simon Fraser University, Majid Barami, on his new prototype that converts waste heat found in district heating to cooling that can be used for air conditioning. This prototype is open to be seen by the public at Burnaby City Hall until September 5th of this year. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This interview would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
All right, thanks, Danny. And I had to do it. We're talking about heating and climate change and things getting warmer. So we're going to hear my favorite track from the new Yon record, World Is Burning.
Waiting, anticipating, the precious building. Kind of got the feeling like I've got a new lease. On the left I'm leading, where I just abandon everything I'm feeling. And as it gets darker, I don't have to see it. I can close the curtains, choose not to believe it. Everybody's laughing, we're having such a good time. Everybody's dancing, we don't read the headlines. As the world is slowly burning, I can't help this earthly yearning. Throw your hands up on my body for the chance to just feel something good coming. Oh, I'm driving down the highway crying. Hear the collective sighs of people passing by me. We all want a new start to find a new beginning. Gotta medicate to make our lives us nearer as the world is slowly burning. I can't help this earthly yearning. For your hands upon my body, for the chance to just feel something good coming. Oh, kiss me, touch my face if we're the last ones in the human race. I wanna dance till we go up in flames. I wanna feel like it was worth something. I wanna feel good. I wanna feel good. I wanna feel good. I wanna feel good, feel good, feel good. As the world is slow. Good coming.
Hey, welcome back to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. That was World is Burning by Yawn, dominating the charts. I may have some small role to play in that, but I love the record, and it's full of bops like that one, so go check it out. Up next, we are, well, we're going to hear a piece that I recorded some time ago, but that is still relevant because it's about an art exhibit that is still going on. And the reason I wanted to play it is because last night, my partner Katie and I, we watched the final episode of the TV series Res Dogs, Reservation Dogs, which is amazing. The show is so good. There are, I want to say, three seasons, maybe four, but it follows a group of indigenous youth in Oklahoma. And just gives a very caring and funny and compassionate and heartbreaking look into the lives of Indigenous people in modern America and their fight and struggle to preserve their culture and fit into the world as it now exists while holding on to the things that make them who they are. And the series is produced, and sort of the showrunners are Sterling Harjo and Taika Waititi. You've probably seen something Taika Waititi has done, whether it's a Marvel movie or one of his smaller, more quirky, independent things, or his TV shows, What We Do in the Shadows, etc. But it's really the creative vision of Sterling Harjo, and there are so many great actors in it. There are so many actors that I knew before that make appearances, but there are also the central cast is mostly people who are new to me, and I just really, really I'm very sad that it's over, but I'm very happy that I was able to watch this series. I really heartily recommend that you do it. It's, there are hour-ish episodes, and there's about 10 per season, so it's not a huge commitment, but it really moved me a lot. The last episode is about a funeral and the whole community sort of coming together to, acknowledge the wonderful life that has been and build and celebrate the community that allows for them to be there. And so it was also a sort of meta funeral celebration of life for the show itself. And I just really, really appreciated this piece of Indigenous art about Indigenous life. And so I wanted to play you a story about another collection of indigenous art celebrating indigenous life. This one by the master carver Kiliata Christian White, who's a Haida carver. And his exhibition is currently on at the Bill Reid Gallery in downtown Vancouver. And I got a chance to go to the opening of that and see the work and hear him speak about it with his family. And I really, just as much as I recommend you watch the TV series Reservation Dogs, I really recommend you head down to downtown Vancouver and check out this exhibition, because it's, I mean, the art itself is amazing, and the context and everything around it just really resonates and gives me chills in the best possible way. So we're going to hear that right now, and I recommend you go check out those two things I've recommended. A new exhibition at the Bill Reid Gallery of Northwest Coast Art in Vancouver is celebrating the work of a master Haida artist and his outstanding contributions to his family, his community, and his culture. This is the featured artist, Kiliata Christian White.
Yeah, many of these pieces are inspired from stories that keep us tied to the lands and waters of our Haida Gwaii. And you can see the different techniques I've employed in my sculptures. It also shows the passing on of the knowledge and the culture to the next generation.
The retrospective exhibition, Kiliata Christian White, Master Haida Artist, spans the career of the renowned carver and multidisciplinary artist, ranging from stunningly detailed stone argillite sculptures and silver jewelry to cedar bentwood boxes and ceremonial masks.
It's a great feeling to be here in the Bill Reid Gallery and see all these pieces in the exhibition together. And, you know, it kind of shows the generations and the different decades, really, of my carving career, my art career. And also to kind of educate people that come here to see, I think they could view our community, our Haida community from Haida Gwaii, you know, through a lens here and be able to see, you know, just like our different movements that we've started through the years, you know, the revival of our arts and culture, our ceremonies, our connection with the ancestors. Each one of the parts of the exhibit show that, really, and the value that we place upon our work, you know, that we have created over the years.
The unifying theme running through the entire exhibition is one of family and community, as the exhibit tells the story of Kiliata Christian White's unwavering commitment to uplifting members of his family and community through apprenticeships, the revival and renewal of traditional artistic and cultural practices, and the transformation of his own craft from a commercial endeavor to make ends meet into the center of an artistic community that preserves, shares, and pushes Haida art into the future.
My name is Amelia Ray. I am the assistant curator here at the Bill Reid Gallery and the co-curator of this exhibition. This was really exciting and felt very natural. I grew up really closely with Christian's daughter. She's my best friend. And I grew up as a lead dancer in his dance group and spent a lot of time at his longhouse. So it kind of felt really right that we would put this on for him, and also like a lot of pressure because him and his family have just done so much for our community, so it felt really, it was a lot of pressure to be like, how can we honor him in the magnitude that he deserves. That was so important to us because that's how we know him, and you know, all of the collectors and people who know his work know him as an argillite carver and somebody who's selling in galleries, but to Haida Gwaii, he's the person who does so much for our community and for the preservation of our Haida culture. And so it felt really important that we honor that and reflect that in this exhibition, because he's, you know, you think of Christian White and he's so much more than just Christian White. He's his family and his dedication to our people. And he said something at one of his potlatches in 2022 that he's doing this out of the love for his people. And I think that we tried to reflect that the best way that we could.
While Kiliata Christian White has been sharing his culture with the world by creating and selling sculptures and other art since he was a youth, he eventually realized that through his art, he could build and strengthen his community in Haida Gwaii, preserving and revitalizing his people's traditional culture and heritage.
But midway through my career, I realized that we don't have to sell everything. We could keep what we want. We could keep things for our own use and our own culture. And so I found a way to do it. Something that wasn't really even heard of We were encouraged, back in the day, we were just encouraged to sell everything, to burn everything, to move on. But in a way, it was our culture that kind of saved us and saved my family. You know, we had nothing left. There was no fishing industry left. Logging was just devastating our islands. And so those weren't directions I wanted to go in. And so I was drawn to the arts. And now I encourage visitors to come to our islands. And what I encourage them to do is to take a picture, to go for a walk, to buy a piece of art, to support a living artist. So that's what I do, and I try to educate them.
This community-centric revitalization, helped by Kiliata Christian White's apprentices, has included a resurgence in the creation of one of the Haida's most iconic works.
You know, right now it's raising as many totem poles as we can on Haida Gwaii. There's a revival of that also. In 2017, I carved a totem pole. I had 8 apprentices, 4 female, 4 male. And then we carved a totem pole. It was standing as a tree December 1st or so. And then by June, it was standing as a totem pole. And I believe every one of those students really learned and gained a lot from that experience, as I did. And then I've seen a pole being raised in Haina, which is another ancient village. Another one was down in down in Windy Bay. So there's a revival of bringing totem poles back out onto the land, into the ancient village sites again. And so, you know, there was a big gap of 125 years of no totem poles being carved, and now it's been revived. And so there could be even a full-time carving in my community where I could have many apprentices, and I don't even have to do it all too. We have other master carvers, journeymen that can carry it about. And so I think we've started that revival, really.
Beyond creating new works and preserving traditional techniques and methods, Kiliata Christian White's teachings build and strengthen community and provide his apprentices with structure, purpose, and sometimes a lifeline.
Like, I've probably kept a few people out of prison. So, from going into that line, you know, of, you know, just getting in trouble. And so I've been able to deter them from that lifestyle. But, you know, of course, it's up to them, too. So it's not a total foolproof, but it gives them an alternative. And, you know, there's some, you know, that have difficulties. You know, they might have a mild disability, or they could have other troubles in their lives. They need alternative type of education. Sometimes the school model is not the only model. You know, sometimes, you know, it's a different, more holistic type of model that they need, and then they can move back, you know, to the school system. Sometimes they got to get that something out of their system, and they got to feel proud about themselves. And you know, it's worked well for me. And you know, some of them will move off to other specialties or other activities, other careers, but that's fine. They'll still have those tools, that knowledge behind them, and then that pride in the culture.
Kiliata Christian White's legacy is further cemented by the works of his apprentices, who have taken his traditional teachings and shaped a bold new future for Haida art.
Haida art is going in many directions. We have some artists working in Haida manga. We have artists that are working in filmmaking, graphic design,